Good morning again. Hopefully you have had a wonderful week. I know several of us went away for a few days down to the river to camp out and had a great time. Wish more of you would have been there with us. We could have had even better fish stories if we had a few more people to share some. Isn't it wonderful to look around and at least welcome a new one? I know if you're over in this area, you've probably already seen a little glow. If not, if you can't see it, there's another baby over here that you might want to go and see and ooh and ah over, because I don't know that you'll get to touch her, but you know, you might get close within a row or two. It is always wonderful to be blessed in God's family with more children. And it's amazing. It's wonderful. And we're so happy that she is here. In the passage that Cody just read for us, one of the verses says, "I delight to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart." What I want to share with you this morning is going to be out of 2 Chronicles, but I think about that passage in Psalms because so many times what separates us from God is we don't have a relationship. We don't really care or understand His will. We don't want to have Him in our heart. We may read things intellectually and understand some things, but His will, His law is not written on our hearts. It becomes some just academic thing for us to do, something for us to spend a little time on. That's not what our relationship with God is supposed to be about. It'll never change us if it stops just in our brain. If it doesn't permeate all the way to our heart, there will no change happen in our life. There will be no change that happens in the world around us. If we cannot share with someone a passion, that'll never ever change those people. It'll never give them a desire to want to be or what they are or do share in what they have. It'll never happen. And so I'm thinking about in 2 Chronicles, starting in chapter 17, Jehoshaphat is the fourth king of Judah, the divided kingdom. When Rehoboam comes to the throne, he is offered a... People come to him and say, "Hey, you know what? Don't be like your father. Be a better king than your father was. And if you do that, we'll serve you." And he's, you know, you remember the story. And he said, "Man, my little finger basically is more powerful than my father's thigh. So I'm gonna do everything that I want to do, and I'm gonna be the king. And you're gonna listen to me." And his arrogance, his relationship with God was not there. And arrogance took over. And he said, "I'm king and I'm going to do things my way." And you see what happened. And it divided the kingdom. Then you go a little bit further in history and we come to a man who loves God. And he's going to do everything that he can in his life to build this relationship. Is he perfect? No. But he's someone that we look at his life, and I don't know if you know him or have really remember reading much about him. There's not a whole lot about him in the Bible, but there are some really good things in a few chapters right here I want to share with you. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 17 is where we're going to start. There's some really good things, some really good traits about Jehoshaphat. In chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, it says that he is the son, Jehoshaphat, his son, became the king in his place and made his position over Israel firm. He placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah, in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had captured. Now, if you read that same chapter, verses 10 through the end of it, it talks about all of his valiant men and those groups, his generals, who had, their armies and where he placed them. He wanted to fortify his kingdom. He was a very intelligent man. He took his work very seriously. He was a military leader of their country. He took it very seriously, and he made sure things were done the way they were supposed to be. I'll get it worked out. really was a good military leader. And when you look at his life and you think of the things that he was doing, it started with God. His relationship started with God. But when he looked at God's people and God's country, he was going to do the things necessary to keep it God's country. Now sometimes maybe we don't think about soldiers, we don't think about armies or military helping us in God's, in that sense that this is God's people. But you know, a lot of times we've got to get out our mindset and say and realize that God is in every aspect of our life. God is supposed to be leading our country militarily and every other way. Now, we don't get the arrogance. We shouldn't go, well, I've got the most powerful military, so I'm the one who's in control. God's proven that doesn't matter. I can take down the strongest country in the world if that's what I decide to do. But we've got to learn to focus. And Jehoshaphat did these things. He was serious about his work. In verse 3, he says, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's, David's, earlier days and did not seek the Baals, but sought God his father, followed his commandments, and did not act as Israel did. Now he's talking about the northern part of their kingdom. He's in Judah. He's taking this part of the kingdom and he's reigning here. But he says he's following after God. He didn't follow after other religious ideas. And you look at our lives today, how many different religious groups are there in this world? Now I'm not... There's no need to point and name names and things like that. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are all different religious ideas in this world, aren't there? You can get in a conversation with anyone, probably someone right here in this auditorium, that maybe our religious ideas are a little bit different than each other's. Maybe we're not in the same place as everyone else in our life right now. And I may question certain things. But there are some religious ideas... There are some religious ideas in this world that aren't found. That are not found in God's Word. Jehoshaphat is not that one who's going to seek those things. He realizes that there are the Baals out there, these idols that men are worshiping, and he's like, that is not who we are. That is not the country that we're part of. God is the one who rules, and he is seeking everything in his life to understand that. Now, when you have people, the older generation that has passed things down to you that are not of God, and we take those things on, it's hard to get out of it. It's hard to change how we've been raised. Is that true? It's hard. And so there's a lot of history that's gone on. Now luckily he had a pretty good dad, it said, that was trying to follow God as well. And so he sees some things. But you know, in his own country, he's looking at things, he sees all of these idols and all this worship going on, and he knows that's not where he's supposed to be. That's not who the country is supposed to be. But it starts with him. It starts with him and not the people, but him himself. Verse 6, he took great pride in the ways of the Lord and again removed the high places and the Asherim from Judah. And he said he's going along and he's looking at all these places where people are going to worship these false gods, these false religions, and all these different ideas. And he says, I'm going to take those down. I'm going to destroy all those places and I'm going to get rid of it. Now, what would happen in our country today if we decided to do that? Now, I understand there's not... Well, actually, there are temples. There are temples all across this country. If you've studied anything about witchcraft, Wiccans, and all of these different ideas, are those here? Yes, they are. Right here in Seminole. There are all different kinds of temples and synagogues and all these places throughout our country. What would happen if we said, you know what? Here's what God's will says. Here's what the Word of God says to do. What would happen if our president of this country said, we're going to stand up and we're going to destroy all of this godlessness out there, all these idol worshippers, we're going to tear all of that down and get rid of it. What would happen? Everyone would go, yeah, that's what we need to do. Yet you're laughing. You don't think that's what would happen? Probably a civil war would ensue. There's nothing new, is there? That's exactly what happens even between Judah and Israel when they get into conflict with each other. Civil war starts. As a matter of fact, in the next few chapters in 2 Chronicles here, there's going to be over 400,000 valiant warriors are going to die in battle because they don't agree with each other about their religion. What happens when you have one poor leader who divides a country and puts them against each other? There's only one unifying force that will ever allow a country to be united. That's it. And it doesn't happen in man. It happens in God and God alone. And that's what Jehoshaphat is trying to do. He's trying to bring the people back together. In verse 7, he says, in the third year of his reign, he sent his officials, Ben-Hel, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathaniel, Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And it goes through a list of more. And then in verse 9 it says, they taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them. And they went throughout all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. So the king is saying, here's what I need all of you to do. I need you to go in every city in our kingdom and I need you to teach them the truths of God's Word. Guide them back to the truth. The truth. The truth. Over and over and over and over again. There's only one truth. And the same thing today. There's only one truth. There's only one thing that's going to guide us back to where God wants us to be. And if we ever dream of having a united country or a world, this is the only way it's going to happen. It'll not happen in any man. It'll not happen in all the great libraries of the world, in any of the great philosophies, or anything else in this world. It'll never, ever happen. It can't. Because we make mistakes ourselves. We can read His Word and walk away and forget what we're about. Until we get back and open it and go, oh yeah, I forgot. This is where I need to be. This is what I need to... And so Jehoshaphat is saying, this is where God's people need to be. So I need to make sure that they understand who they are, and even more importantly, whose they are. He also never forgot about God, even during the difficult times. If you flipped over in chapter 18, in verse 31, they're in battle. And he has united himself with Ahab. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Ahab, we know, is not a great person. And Ahab has kind of been a little bit deceptive. And he says, you know what? Here's why we're going to go and attack these people. And we're going to do these things. And you go ahead and dress like a king. And I'm not going to dress up like a king. I'm going to kind of hide out, camouflage myself. And in the war, they're looking for the king, and they try to capture or try to kill him. In verse 31, it says, when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. When the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. Even when he makes a bad choice, and he's allied himself with Ahab, and Ahab is talking into doing something that was pretty stupid, he stops and he says, you know what? This wasn't smart. God, I need your help. I need your help. And God stops and helps him. Where is his strength come from? He knew where his strength came from. It was from God. He wasn't going to be able to do the things that he needed to do without him. His attitude. You look down in chapter 19 beginning. And then it says, the king of Judah returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord and so bring wrath on yourself from the Lord? But there is some good in you, for you have removed the Asheroth from the land and you have set your heart to seek God. He had a repentant attitude. Now, not an action, but an attitude. It's who he focused his life on. This is where I need to be. These are the things that I need to do. And when I come up against something I know is wrong, there's the attitude. It changes who we are. Now, we're going to mess up at times. Not everything's going to be perfect. But if we have the attitude that says God is in control, God is the one that I need to seek, God is the one that's going to deliver me from everything, then the attitude will change who we are. And every time we make a mistake, it'll lead us back to the truth and go, you know what? God told me this. That wasn't going to work out. If I do this, this is what's going to happen. I know that, and we know that today. We can look through God's Word and we can see all kinds of things that happen in our life. And every single time something negative or bad happens in a relationship, why does it happen? Because God has been left out of that relationship. Every single time. Without fail. Things happen negatively when we don't listen to God. In verse 4, it says, "So Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem and went out again among the people from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers." He kept leading people back. He kept trying to get in, to intercede in their lives. This is not the path that was chosen for us. This is not where we're supposed to be. This is not how our life is supposed to look. This is not how your life is supposed to look. And over and over and over again, he kept leading them back to God. This is where we need to be. It's an attitude change that we need to have in our life. He develops. In the next several verses, he starts developing leadership. This is what I need for you to do. I need you to go here. I need you to do these things. I need you and you and you to do these. And he starts developing those things because he knows he's not always going to be there. And he can't be in every place simultaneously. Someone else has to do those things. And so he encourages that leadership. In chapter 20, in verse 12, actually, verse 5 on down through there, but verse 12 specifically, he says, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Prayer. How important is our relationship with God? A lot of times you can answer that by this. How much time do you spend talking to Him? If we don't spend any time talking to God in prayer, our relationship's really not that important. We can go to worship every week. We can go every time the doors of the church building are open. But if we don't have a personal conversation with God every single day, that relationship really doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. Our relationship with God, it's not about keeping a bunch of laws and rules and regulations. It's about having a relationship personally with Him. We could talk about a number of other things, but this is exactly what He says. Our eyes are on you. There are some wonderful traits. How many of those traits do we have, do you have in your life? Whether it's the job that you have, are you focused on those jobs that you're supposed to be about? And is God involved in that job? Is God beside you no matter what you're doing? All the things that we just talked about. What are the kind of religious ideas that are going on that you've stopped and said, you know, that's not okay. It's not okay to believe that. It's not okay to do those things. It's not okay to have God on Sunday and the bell on Monday. It's not okay. It's not okay to worship God one minute and leave and go worship some other idol at some other point and say, well, I have God also. It's not okay. Who rules in our life? You see, because human nature happens sometimes. And just like in Jehoshaphat's life. In chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, he says, "Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he allied himself by marriage with Ahab." Why would you ally yourself with someone who is so crooked? Well, let's see. He's the king of Israel. those are our brothers. That's how we started out. So maybe I should build this relationship. Good idea. It sounds great. But what kind of human being is he? Is this someone that I really need to be with? Why don't we ask first, God, what is your idea on this? Since I'm your king of your people, what do you have to say about this alliance that I'm contemplating and thinking? But he uses human wisdom and he allies himself with them. And so Ahab knows how to deal with him. Ahab very intelligently and sneaky gets Jehoshaphat on his side and says, let's go to war together. Let's go and do these things together. Let's build a pact. Let's become blood brothers, if you will, or all the different things through time that we talk about. And we're joining forces. We're going to do this together. And so they build this relationship. And Ahab is out for himself, just like he always has been. He doesn't care about the people of Israel. He doesn't care about Jehoshaphat. He doesn't care about a relationship with God. He's proven it. If you look at someone's life and you realize they don't care about God and a relationship with Him, why in the world would you want to make an alliance with that person? Why do we want to do that? But I'm related. I mean, we're blood related. So? What does that matter? What are our relationships? How should our relationships truly be built? How should we be... What kind of an alliance should we be building in our lives? With people who are unfaithful to God? Or people who are faithful? Now, I'm not saying we walk away and build some little commune out here somewhere where we won't let anybody in unless they look exactly like how we want them to look. That's not what I'm saying. But the people that you have in your life that you depend on, the people that you call on a daily basis, those who you say, I'm really struggling with something and I need your help. Who are those people going to be? People who do not know God and do not care who He is, or the ones who believe in Him and believe this is who we need to be about. This is a relationship that we need. He allies himself with Ahab, and it almost causes him to lose his life. He made rash commitments. You look at verse 3 of that 18th chapter. And Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me against Ramoth-Gilead? And he said, I am as you are, my people as your people. We will be with you in the battle. Blank check. Whatever you say, we're there. Not only does he commit himself, but he commits God's people. Whatever you think, we'll guide them down that same path. We'll tell them, all right, you need to go this direction. Is that a good leader? No. He stopped and he started thinking and believing in himself and listening to things rather than listening to God. Why was this relationship with Ahab so important? Do we struggle with the desire to have a relationship with someone when it's in conflict with our relationship with God? Do you ever do that? Probably all of us have struggled with some relationship at some time that probably wasn't good for us. And it never leads in a great direction, does it? But he also, that human nature, sought God's approval rather than God's direction. In chapter 18, verse 4, he says, moreover, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, please inquire first for the Lord, for the word of the Lord. Now, he still has it. God is our God. God has always led me. He's got me where I'm. So maybe we need to ask Him. Let's inquire of Him. Now, it's a little late. Why? Because He said, my people are yours. I'm as yours. We'll do whatever you say. And now let's get our armies together and let's go. Oh, hold on. Wait a second. Let's pray real quick. You ever had one of those prayers? Dear Lord, we're on this journey and we just want you to bless what we're doing. That's what he's actually saying. Let's inquire of God and just make sure God approves all of our plans as they are. No, let's not go ask God ahead of time. Let's not go ask for His guidance to make the plans. He says we've already made the plans. Now let's get God, ask God to approve it. And so He says, let's inquire. And so Ahab assembles 400 prophets for guidance. And they all come and they start praying and they come to Ahab and they say, well, we inquired of God, and God says, go get them. The victory is yours. God is going to, man, He's going to show everyone how powerful you are, and He's going to bless you, and He's going to do all of these things. And one after another, after another, after another, 400 of them in unison say, go and the victory is yours. It's not good enough. So Jehoshaphat asks, now wait a minute. Isn't there another one, a prophet that we can really speak to that's God's prophet? And Ahab said, well, there's one. His name's Micaiah, but he doesn't like me. And every time I ask him to bless what I'm doing, he just says, God's not going to be with you. God doesn't like that. And he said, I'm just tired. I got 400 prophets of God, but none of them are telling him that what God is saying. They're telling him what he wants to hear. Is there anyone that doesn't care what you want? Is there one who's going to tell us the truth? Yeah, Micaiah is, but he didn't like me. So they call him in and they say, all right, we want to ask you. And Micaiah says in verse 13 of chapter 18, As the Lord lives, what my God says, I will speak. And when he came to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I refrain? And he said, go up and succeed, for they will be given into your hand. Now, it's such a slap in the face of actually hearing him say, yep, you're going to be blessed. Look at 15, what he says. How many times must I adjure you to speak to me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord? Why are you lying to me? Don't tell me now that God's gonna bless me when you've never told my whole life, my whole reign, you've never said that. So tell me the truth. He says, okay. Verse 16. I saw Israel scattered on the mountain like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each of them return to his house in peace. You're going to go to battle, and God is going to strike you dead if you do it. That's what God has to say. Now, I don't know about you, but that probably should be enough for most of us to say, I don't want to go there. Exactly what he says happens. How often do we seek God's approval rather than God's direction? Ahab had a serious issue with that. And when we put those kind of people like Ahab in our life, they will affect us too. And Jehoshaphat almost lost his life because he listened to a man who didn't believe in God. A leader of Israel, the king of Israel, he almost lost his life. But he keeps going back. And the attitude that Jehoshaphat had in his life kept leading him back, and he kept bringing after that battle, it said he went to the people and he brought them back. God is important. God is who we are. God is where we find our strength. Is this who we are? Now, what happens when we get sidetracked? Look at the end of chapter 20, and we'll close with this morning. In chapter 20, beginning in verse 32, verse 31. Jehoshaphat reigned over Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. Verse 32. And he walked in the way of his father Asa, and did not depart from it, doing right in the sight of the Lord. Now look at verse 33. The high places, however, were not removed. The people had not yet directed their hearts to the God of their fathers. The high places were not completely removed. What things in our life are we still struggling with that maybe we've been struggling with for years. We're going to struggle in this life. Why? Because there are going to be Ahabs and there are going to be hundreds of thousands of other people in this world, millions of people in this world who do not want to know what God's will is all about, who do not want to follow God, who are not willing to give up their own ideas for what God says is right and what the truth of His Word is. We want to come up with our own. People are going to do it because it's been that way since the beginning of time. What things do we struggle with? Jehoshaphat started out really, really well. And he lived his life in accordance to God's will 95% of the time. He wanted to be there. He wanted to have a relationship with God. But yet, some things distracted him. And he didn't complete everything that he set out originally to complete. Because God wasn't completely in control every day of his life. What things are left undone in your life this morning? What things have you committed to in your relationship with God that are not complete? What if you were called home today? He was 60 years old when he quit reigning. There are a lot of people here this morning that are beyond 60 years of age. He had 25 years as king and he did really well, but he didn't quite get things accomplished that he was trying and he set out to do. Have we grown dependent upon people rather than God? When you look at your own life, are you dependent on the other people in your life? Or are you dependent upon God? That's a tough question. And the only one that's going to be able to answer that is you. When you sit down and seriously contemplate and think of that, am I more dependent on God or am I dependent on the people in my life? Do I find meaning in my life because of my relationship with God or because of the people that are in my life? Who are you dependent on? Have you settled for less than what God has promised you? God promised Jehoshaphat victory in everything he did if he followed him. We're promised victories in everything. Have we settled for less than what we've been promised in our relationship with God? I know this morning God loves us. God loves you and he loves me. He's told us that over and over. He sent his son for us. He's done everything he can to have that relationship with us. What kind of relationship do you have with him? It's not always going to be perfect. We've been looking at these heroes of faith. And Jehoshaphat had a great faith. It changed his life. It made him do a lot of great things. But every time he forgot about his relationship with God, every time he forgot about it and focused on something else, it changed. And he had to back it up. Sometimes we need to back it up. Sometimes in our life, we need to back up and say, is God in control in my life? Sometimes it takes us looking at our life and seeing where we are. When is the last time you evaluated where you are in your relationship now? Have you settled for less than what God has in store for you? You don't have to. God wants to bless you. That's what we all hope. But if you want to begin that life, maybe you haven't even started that life. If you haven't started that life, you can do that this morning. He has promised us, first promise, that he will love us, he will redeem us,
Yeah.